We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
All right, as I mentioned, I wanted to start by talking about the four All-Stars that the Royals have heading to Arlington. One is a draft pick. One is an international signing. You have a free agent acquisition and a trade acquisition. I want to begin, though, with Bobby Witt Jr. Big offseason, obviously, for the organization and for Bobby. What has that contract meant for the brand that is the Kansas City Royals? Knowing that you have a player like that for his 20s committed to this organization, what does that allow you to do, JJ to do? What does it mean for the organization?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, that was part of our motivation, right? To keep, we know how difficult it is to either draft and develop generational talent like that, even more difficult to keep them in the same uniform, and particularly in a small market. So that was really the first cornerstone of the offseason, even though that didn't happen until some of the free agent signings. That was our focus really before the season was over. So, and I feel like we got him for the best years of his life. And the, you know, the was listening to the ESPN selection show the other day, and it's a Hall of Famer, Kirk. I can't think of his last name right now. Kirchen.
Oh, Tim Kirchen.
Tim Kirchen. He just said, this is, you're talking about all the first-time All-Stars. He said, this is the first of many for the all-world shortstop, Bobby Witt.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think as it relates to the brand, Vern, look, you know, for our fans to know that he's going to be here for a long time. And if you think about, well, I know we had him for 4 years before we signed that deal, but the reality is it's a lot more compressed than that. So now we know we have him for a minimum of 7, including this season and hopefully beyond that.
Do you think the organization is viewed different by other organizations, by big leaguers themselves, because of that type of commitment that you showed?
I think no doubt. I think it helps to have four All-Stars, too. Yeah. I think to be competing and in the hunt for an All-Star slot, to have a guy like Bobby Witt on the club, and to have some of these new players that we picked up that not only have we acquired, but we've helped our development. We talk about, you know, the different signees and where the acquisition process for each of them, but mm-hmm. in all of them, player development's playing a role. When I think about Cole Reagans, that was and developing at the major league level, particularly on the pitching side, not just the pitching side, but that's been another part of, I think, the progress that the organization's made that allows us to develop all of these players. But we're very proud of the four selections here. Obviously excited to have a guy like Bobby Witt around for a long time. In fact, if you look at the four, I think I'm right on this, the four selections, all of them are going to be here for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is also
well, speaking
very
of that, you know, Salvador Perez now 9 All-Star games, 1,500 hits, 260 home runs.
1,501 as
That's
of
right.
the weekend. Anyway.
That's right. Anyone that has those numbers and plays catcher is in the Hall of Fame or is Salvador Perez. How important is keeping him in this uniform to you?
I think it's important. You know, we got him for next year. I think we have an option a year after that. So we know we have that. And Salvi's, he's a captain. He's the heart and soul of the team. I think adding some veterans to the clubhouse this year has been very meaningful. That all kind of fell on him last year, but he's still the heart and soul of this team, and I think Bobby's emerging as a leader along with some of these other young guys and the veterans we brought in as well.
Yeah, the way that Bobby earned Salvi's respect so quickly says all you need to know about the type of worker, the type of player that Bobby is.
Well, what Salvi said, I'm going to tell my grandkids I played with Bobby Witt Jr. That's right. Pretty remarkable for
no doubt.
Someone of his stature.
If Salvi's able to get to the postseason, make another run at it, to go along with what he did in 14 and 15, that just further, in my opinion, cements his Hall of Fame candidacy. What kind of approach are you taking right now as we sit 3 weeks away from the trade deadline? Are you desperate for the postseason in 2024?
I would say we are very motivated to make the playoffs, right? I think we're in a good spot right now. We're sitting, we're looking up at the third wild card spot right now. We're not too far from the second wild card spot. We got a little bit of distance between us and the Guardians in the division, but you know all those things are still on the table. Now, when you say are we desperate as it relates to the trade deadline? You know, JJ and I talk about this all the time, and you know, we're going to try to get better at the deadline. JJ's talked about what the priorities are, right? The bullpen arms, maybe an outfield bat. But we're going to try to get better in the short term and the long term, particularly if we're going to give up any part of our future. When we think about putting prospects on the table, that's got to be a multi-year. That's got to be something that's going to make us better, not only in 24, but 25 and 26 as well.
Sacrificing the future, does that send chills up your spine? Is that something that you even entertain, not just this season, but what you're trying to build here in Kansas City? Does the term sacrificing the future, does that ever come into play?
Well,
can you
ever
envision
that? I think when I say sacrificing the future, for example, I'm not saying that we wouldn't add something short term, but I'd rather take on payroll and not give prospects in those situations. If we're gonna give prospects, I want again multi-year. We're gonna get better today and better tomorrow, and that's how I think our approach at the deadline should be every year. I think. We're not gonna mortgage the future. We think we got a good window here of a competitive window with these young guys. They're gonna get better. We have a rotation now that's, I think, elite, but there's also some people that could be added to that rotation over the next year, including, you know, I think the team's going to be using Chris Bubich in a different way, but when we get to spring training next year, I would assume he'll be a candidate to compete for a spot in the rotation. Kyle Wright will be coming off this injured situation. So I feel, to me, that's an important rotation. You live and breathe by your rotation or by pitching in general. Yeah. Need to add depth to the bullpen and need to make sure we score enough runs to have one more than the other guys every night.
Doesn't sound at all as if you're entertaining the option of selling at the deadline.
That's not on my radar right now.
Well, that's good to hear. Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, the final two All-Stars. Neither one of them were in the organization 13 months ago. I think it's easy to make a case that Cole Reagan's was the best acquisition of last year's trade deadline around Major League Baseball. And you know, that's quite the reflection on your front office and J.J. Piccolo. I'm curious if you've learned anything new about J.J. in the past 12 months.
Well, I mean, look, I've thought a lot of J.J. for a long time. I thought he's very prepared for this role. Put him in a tough spot. You know, when you think about the changes we made at the end, but he responded in an incredible way and dealt with a season last year that was none of us really enjoy dealing with, but is going to be a big part of, I think, our future. You know, I think Greg Holland, when he was here for the 2014, made a comment, you know, it's darkest right before the dawn.
Right.
And sometimes you don't realize that. But I think JJ, what I've appreciate about him, he listens. He listens to a lot of voices, but then he's decisive, you know, based upon the information. He's a good leader in that room. In fact, I think he's in that room right now, preparing for the draft right now. But also the deadline right behind that. It's a lot going on. Draft's next week, and deadline's a few weeks after that.
Yeah.
So, but no, JJ, look, he's a leader. He knows baseball. I think he's shown an ability to blend kind of the traditional scouting competency that we have and that his back, but also, you know, add to it technology, the analytics, the research and development.
I've joked that if I was him, I would just walk around in a T-shirt that said Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo, just so someone can ask and I can let them know I brought them both here. And shockingly, $15 million, as someone that's not paying out that money to Seth Lugo,
yeah,
that's a steal. $15 million for a guy that is arguably going to start the All-Star game, or at least has quite the case to start the All-Star game. You can make a case. I mentioned Reagan's the best trade deadline acquisition last year. You can make a case that Seth Lugo's the best free agent signing of this offseason. And you know, I watch a lot of MLB Network, a lot of former players. They're giving this organization, giving you a lot of credit for paying pros, paying guys that have done it at the highest level. You're not throwing crazy money out there, but they're fair deals to quality professionals.
These are competent people we added to this team. When you think about Seth Lugo, you think about Michael Wacha. You know, I think about the rotation, the bounce back that Brady's having. You know, the gem he threw on Sunday in Colorado, very efficient, ordered up some double plays, probably could have gone another inning or two. I think he only had, 80 pitches approximately. And then the emergence of Alec Marsh, too, which is really a homegrown kind of development project for us. But, no, I think I really like – I have no problem with the money we're spending on those guys. And, obviously, when you have young guys like Alec and Brady and Cole, you know, those are real bargains while they're, you know, pre-arbitration or coming through their arbitration years, if they're performing at that level.
How sustainable is it to be – players in free agency like you were this offseason? Is that something that you expect to dip your toe in that water on a consistent basis?
Well, I think the mix of what you just talked about, the international signing, the homegrown draft pick, the trade, and the free agency, I think we need to be active in all those areas. I will say that the free agency, though, is sometimes can be expensive, right? It's hard to – I like what JJ did this year, and I heard somebody – I don't know if this is a good term, and I heard somebody say that we went to the middle class, right? But you know, not being cheap, but not paying $40 million for those guys, right? But these are, I mean, Seth Lugo, you mentioned. I think Michael Wacha had the short term on the disabled list, but he's a reliable guy every time he goes out there, and I think the impact that both of them are having on that staff and the team is impactful.
You mentioned the four ways to acquire talent. To win consistently in this market, you have to win in the margins. And Q talks about that all the time. JJ does, and you have as well. Is there an aspect of this organization that you feel right now is on the cutting edge that gives us an edge when we're taking on the New Yorks and the LAs?
You know, that's a great question. I do think I'm really excited about what we're doing in our pitching department, and really excited that we're developing pitchers at the major league level and even helping veterans. I think Michael Wacha added a pitch. You know, Brady has added a pitch. You know, I think Brian Sweeney and Zach Bove and Mitch Stetter, and then, of course, Paul Gibson, too, to keep that consistency in the system. I feel really good about that group. And then how they're integrated with Daniel Mack and research and development to kind of look behind what the eyes see and make sure that we know more about more about all those things.
Yeah, I think that was the hope of a lot of fans as well. As you know, coming from Cleveland, with Q coming from Tampa, two of the finest organizations as far as drafting and developing and acquiring pitching, as we're now coming close to a five-year anniversary of you and the rest of the ownership group purchasing this team.
Hard to believe.
what words would you describe these 5 years, where you're at here in 2024? Are you happy with where you're at, where you've brought this organization?
Yeah, I'm happy with where we are, but we have a long way to go. I think you always have a long way to go. And, you know, we had some choppiness in the early years. We had the pandemic impacted 2 years. We had a work stoppage, and then we went through a painful 106 loss season. But, no, I feel good about where the organization is right now. But a lot of work to do. Baseball gods have to smile on you. You got to stay healthy, which we've been fairly fortunate, at least so far this year.
What are the kind of questions, comments? What are you hearing from Royals fans when you're out here at the K or out and about around the city?
You know, it's interesting. Mostly what I'm hearing right now is thank you for putting this team on the field, you know, which is really kind of interesting, right? Because that's our job. That's our job. We're just doing what we're supposed to be doing. But really a ton of gratitude. I get stopped in the parking lot. Thanks for signing Bobby Witt. Thanks for making baseball relevant again in Kansas City. So that's been very gratifying. But I'm humble about that, and because look, this game is extremely humbling in general, right? And got off to a good start. You're never hitting on all cylinders in this game. You got sometimes the pitching needs to carry the bats. Sometimes the bats make up for the. So we got to make sure that we have depth in all aspects of our organization. I still believe that pitching is the most important thing. You mentioned Cleveland and Tampa. Mm-hmm. Another thing I would say, though, look, we want to learn from other organizations, but we want to have our own brand of baseball. We want to have a Royals brand of baseball, right? And I think that's what JJ and the team are developing. We have some similarities maybe with how we go about things, like Cleveland or like Tampa. But I want us to be. We also want to have a unique approach to this. I think adding Bobby Witt for the long term on this roster, because I think it's important that our fans. You know, they have to be productive players. They have to fit our economic system. I think it's important that our fans, there are guys like Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt that are going to be here a long time. I think that's meaningful to our fan base.
The fan base has been turning out slowly but surely as the season's gone on. Looking at it as of this morning, still the average in the fifth smallest crowds in Major League Baseball. How does that hit you? Is that surprising, disappointing?
Well, I think, you know, winning is what's going to bring the fans back, right? And it's a lagging indicator. But I think we're projecting now to be somewhere between 20 and 25% increase in attendance. And that's without assuming, you know, a playoff run, a deep. So that's certainly progress. When you look at the history of the Kansas City Royals, if we're consistent, and we're in the hunt, you know, we should draw 2 million fans. That's how I feel about it, you know. We're not projecting that for this year unless it could happen if you really got hot. But it usually takes a couple of years. I think in 14, we were less than 2 million, right?
In 14.
About 1.8 million-ish, something like that, right? In 15, 2.4 maybe. And then in 16 our best attendance year, like 2.7 or something. You know, so it's a lagging indicator. But all the things that I look for that you know, in the business side that tell you the fans are engaged. Increased attendance, increased television ratings, 20%, even net of continued subscriber loss on the part of the cable companies. Or merchandise, game day, merchandise sales are up. All those things. Streaming, you know, we've tried to work with Bally's to have them do specials on the Bally's app, so our streaming numbers are more than double over prior year. And we're doing some interesting things that the rest of the league is actually noticing.
You mentioned you wanted to acknowledge what Tampa and Cleveland do well, but create your own identity in Kansas City, your own brand of baseball, a unique brand. Anything stand out? What specifically are you hoping people come away from a Royals game saying that's a Kansas City Royals ball club, a John Sherman, J.J. Piccolo, Matt Quatrero ball club?
Well, I think it starts with pitching because that keeps you in the game. You know, your starting pitching gives you a chance to win. Your bullpen has to be able to close it out, but also an aggressive, good defense, athletic, speed. I love the, you got to play good defense, and we're doing that. I think that having an elite defense is important, but also putting pressure on the other team when you're running the base pass. If you think about the Bobby, I assume Bobby's leading the league in triples. He's got to be right there, but that's the most exciting play in baseball is the triple. We had the back-to-back ones a couple of weeks ago, which didn't even involve Bobby, which was interesting. But and you can see it in the ballpark, right? When he laces one in the corner in the gap, the whole place stands up, right? And we're all waving Bobby around the base pass. So I think that's an exciting brand of baseball for the fans, but just as importantly, it's a winning brand of baseball. It puts pressure on the other team. I think I would say that I like the way the Diamondbacks, when they were in the playoffs last year, they had an aggressive, they were the last team in, right? They were given up for dead, I think, and kind of made a little run there and beat Milwaukee in the wild card, beat the Dodgers in the divisions, and beat the Phillies to get into the. So that's another example like we've seen here. Getting in, you're talking about being motivated to make the playoffs. In baseball, if you get in the dance, anything can happen.
It is strange in that I don't know if it pays to try and build a great team anymore. In that,
like a super team?
Yeah. It just doesn't seem to, certainly not in a market like this. We talk about mortgaging your future.
Well, it's hard to do. Yeah. You need to have some luck. You got to stay healthy. But when you think of the super teams, right, it's the Phillies, it's the Yankees, although they're in a rut right now.
And the Dodgers have... one title since Gibson took Eckersley deep. I mean, these
right. The
Royals have the same amount of World Series titles as the New York Yankees over the past 25 years. So the
super teams
doesn't always pay off.
We had a team in Cleveland, I think, in 2017 that was really deep, good rotation. We had brought in Edwin and Encarnacion. Mm-hmm. We had a good bullpen, and we were actually called one of the super teams along with a couple. But it was very difficult to sustain and maintain. We traded Encarnacion away, I think, after maybe the 18 season, but and got Carlos Santana back, who we released when we got him. So I think good pitching, good defense, team speed, those are the keys. And then a team that I think the clubhouse, I think a team that plays together and is unselfish and has a good approach at the plate, that can have an impact as well.
Yeah. Get, Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans in a 5-game series. I don't think anyone would want to see those two. You mentioned the
no,
triple.
No, I like that. That's a good point, too. In a short series, there's some equalizers in baseball.
Bobby getting 4 or 5 at bats. The guy can hit triples to left field, like we're seeing here at Kauffman Stadium.
He can hit home runs that get out in a minute too.
He's unbelievable. Yeah, 112 miles per hour on that home run against the Rockies.
It was gone in about 1.8 seconds. It was that ball was. You're talking about in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ball was out of there.
Roasted. Eric Hosmer, a future Royals Hall of Famer, recently, he a big fan of Bobby Witt Jr., talked about bringing the fences in at Kauffman Stadium, saying that's going to cost him 10 home runs. It could end up costing him an MVP in the next few years. I don't think that's going to happen here. Is there a desire at a new ballpark to not have a triples alley, to not have a bigger ballpark?
We've discussed it a little bit. JJ and I have discussed it, and there's there's two sides to that, right? I mean, one of the things that it's not just Bobby Witt hitting more home runs. You think about this is in some ways it's a pitcher's ballpark, right?
And so, very much so, yeah.
And so it gives us the ability to so maybe pitchers want to come here, right? But maybe sluggers don't want to come here, right? And so we've talked about that, the impact of that. But I think as I get the sense though that JJ and the front office feel like, we have a better chance to build a team that can excel. I'm not saying the dimensions would be the same as here in the new ballpark, but in a big ballpark where speed, defense, and pitching can prevail over the long haul.
There are two questions that I get on the postgame show that I normally end the postgame show because I don't have any answers, and it is the stadium and the television deal. Do you have anything you want to pass along to the fan base regarding either one of those two? Because God knows I've run out of things.
I would say on the television deal that long term, this is going to be better. We're going to get rid of all these antiquated blackouts and all these things. Right now, we're in a Bally's is in bankruptcy. There's whether the timing, but long term, there's two things that we talk about probably more than anything when you go to an owner's meeting. And the first one's media right now, and so long term, there's going to be a solution for that. What we're working hard right now, like the Bally's app, right? If you don't have cable in your house, I think we've had two. You can get two months for the price of one, and so we're working with Bally's in the league to try to. But long term, look, we want to get paid for our media rights. But I think I've said this before: reach is more important than revenue. The revenue, we'll get there on the revenue. That'll take care of itself. But expanding our reach is what the revenue will follow. But access is really what's more important than making money in the short term on the media rights. As it relates to the stadium, what I would say about that, look, this is about, I take my responsibilities very seriously, both for the community and for this franchise. And this is focused on securing the future of the Royals and Major League Baseball in Kansas City. It's the project. The process is really about our commitment to the region, to our fans, and to the organization. And we're going to get that right as well. So I would just say on those two things, it might not appear so on a daily basis, but we're going to get both of those things right. We're going to fix the media. Our fans are going to have access and be able to watch our games. Somebody stopped me in the hall the other day in Tulsa. They couldn't watch our games or something. That's kind of ridiculous, right? In Tulsa, they can't watch our baseball games. But I just told them we're going to fix that, keep an eye on us. And then the stadium project will be, that's just something that'll also, we'll get that right as well. That's all I would say to the fans is have a little patience, but we'll get that right.
You going to the All-Star game?
I'm not going to the All-Star game.
Watching it on TV like the rest of us.
You know, I've been to the All-Star game. I actually, with four in yesterday, I asked JJ, is there anything we need to do for those guys? He said, those guys are going to be taken care of. And, of course, JJ's in they're in the draft room.
Sure.
Right? I mean, when they show the draft in Texas, all our guys are up here in some kind of white room in the war room up here, so.
Well, John, I greatly appreciate the time. Congratulations on an outstanding first half and finish strong.
All right, thank you. A lot of work to do. Thanks for having me.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players Inc.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or?
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.